The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And our topic today is choral music that will be performed, in one case, in Champaign by a group called Capella Orpheus, and in the other will be performed in Decatur by a group called Opus 24, that ensemble actually celebrating its 20th anniversary. And we'll be talking with their director, Milton Scott, who is making a return appearance with us. And this is a little bit of the sound of Capella Orpheus that will be in Champaign Sunday evening here on Live, here hearing them on Live and Local. Was the group called Capella Orpheus, based in Champaign, Urbana, under the direction of Nelly Matova, which is a pretty new ensemble. They've been around not even 2 years yet, compared with Opus 24, who we'll be talking about later in the program, who have celebrating the 20th year. And Capella Orpheus giving their spring program this coming Sunday at 7 o'clock in the evening at St. John Episcopal Chapel, on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign, just barely on Champaign. It's literally on the Champaign side of Wright Street. And Nelly is here along with two of the original members of Capella Orpheus, John Wagstaff and Greta Miller. Right. I realized I was going on memory, and then my memory has failed me many times lately, but it seems to have worked today. Anyway, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting us.
So, Nelly, tell me a little bit about the start of this ensemble and why.
We started the ensemble in summer of 2010. Originally started as one concert only. I invited friends which sang for me for my doctoral recital, and some of them are also Bach members.
Bach, and meaning Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana.
Yes, and we decided to, I invited them to perform contemporary choral music together. And after the concert, I asked them, would they do it again? And here we are, up to the fourth concert. So that's how we started.
It seems that the chorus of the Baroque artists has turned out to be a bit spawned various spin-offs. There's a group called Prairie Voices that has a lot of members from that chorus, and it seems to me we've had another group that I think, John, you have sung in that has had various Baroque artist members. And I wonder if you even know the answer to this question. Is that because of the Bach chorus and the camaraderie there, or is that because people who are interested in the sort of singing that you and the Baroque artists do just happen to congregate together and show up in different ensembles? Did you follow that?
I think probably having the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana in town definitely provides a focus for people who want to sing. I mean, it's a good place to bring together singers from the university and from outside the university. We get good training from Chet Olwis, who leads that ensemble, obviously. So hopefully, you know, we learn good principles of singing. And from that, yeah, people are able to develop their singing interests into other areas. I mean, one thing Champaign-Urbana is very good at, I think, is early music. Obviously, the Baroque artists, but as you mentioned, I used to sing with another group, Vox Chambana, which John Cox used to have, a Renaissance group. But I think when Nelly founded Capella Orpheus, this was a pretty new thing, certainly for those of us who were singing in it, and it seemed that there was a niche in Champaign-Urbana for that type of music.
Well, and Nelly, you specifically mentioned contemporary choral music, although I do see that one of the pieces on your program can hardly be called contemporary, coming from the 16th century. But the rest of it is pretty much 20th century or early 21st century. 21st century music. We're in the 21st century, yeah.
Yes, we are.
I always used to get these numbers mixed up. If you're in the 1900s, that means the 20th century. Now we're in the 2000s, that's the 21st. It never seemed very logical to me, and I still have trouble with it. Did you really mean for this group to focus on newer music, meaning newer than, say, the standard 19th century repertoire?
Yes, I'm really interested in the contemporary choral music, but that said, I wouldn't exclude any other style because I really think to develop this group as very group which has versatile style and be able to sing various kinds of music.
And this particular program you have given the name of Choral Impressions from Past and Present, and I wonder, I mean, normally in orchestral music, we would say impressions would imply impressionistic music, which would mean people like Ravel and Debussy, and you don't have any of that on this program. So what does that title come from?
It just implies that the feelings which each particular piece creates in a person who performs in the audience, and that's kind of impression.
So you're trying to impress people in some way or another?
Definitely, I'm trying to impress them.
But presumably as well, each of these pieces is so different, it's such a thing of itself that you can only get a quick impression of that particular style, I suppose. It's a miscellany in a way, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And the some of the composers' names will be familiar to many of our listeners. Maurice Duruflé, maybe not be familiar. His setting of the Lord's Prayer. The older piece I mentioned is somebody I've actually never heard of, Gesualdo di Venosa. Who is this guy?
He's a Renaissance composer. These two pieces which we are performing are from his Madrigal Book 4. And they are. I intentionally put them in program in relation to the Hindemith pieces, which we'll sing after those two. Because they're in strange way related. Hindemith, when he wrote his madrigals, he was actually working with student on dissertation on Gesualdo, and he was teaching composition course at the same time. So apparently he really closely looked at Gesualdo's music, and one can see this relationship comparing Gesualdo's madrigals and Hindemith's madrigals.
So a nice little connection there between the two, and then you sort of wrap up the first half with music by Igor Stravinsky, his Ave Maria, and then the Paternoster, which is another setting in the Lord's Prayer. That's clever. You start with one and end with another. I don't know if I've ever heard the one by Maurice Duruflé. It seems to be a must-have because he hasn't written all that much choral music or all that music in general.
It's a beautiful piece. I'd not sung it before, but it really is beautiful. Yeah. Typical of that Duruflé style, you know, like the Obi Caritas, that kind of thing. But wonderful piece.
He has written a lot of the choral music of his that I know tends to be at least partly based on chant in some form or another. Is that also true of this one?
Not really. I wouldn't say so.
Because I wondered if there might have been that connection, even though the Gesualdo piece is not chant, at least it comes from that older time that has a pretty close connection to it. It occurs to me that the first piece I played to open this program, I never told people what it was. So why don't you tell us what it was? This is by a fellow that I also hadn't heard of, Dobry Christov.
That's a Bulgarian composer. His name is Dobry Christov. He lived in the beginning of 20th century, and he's considered one of the greatest composers of Bulgarian music. He wrote in all genres, but mostly choral music. And also he was an ethnomusicologist, so he wrote many theoretical works about the folk music and especially the rhythm of the Bulgarian folk music. And the piece which we just heard is called Tebe Poem, which in English is translated as We Sing Thee.
So it doesn't have... So poem doesn't mean poem in this case?
No,
it means something else entirely. It means sing. Oh,
yes.
Well, now that's that would be an interesting etymology to discover. Is this a composer that you learned, that you knew about before you got into the choral program here at the university, or is he a composer that people who study a lot of choral music
definitely, I knew this composer because I'm from Bulgaria, so studying there... it was just natural for me to know this composer.
I don't mean to be insulting when I say that for some reason I assumed you were Czech, and I don't know why I assumed that.
No, I'm Bulgarian. I'm from Sofia, and I have a master's degree from Bulgaria, and then I came here and I finished a doctoral program.
So you have spent some time studying with Chet Always, who leads the Baroque artist.
Yes, absolutely. Learned many things from him.
I hope so. You had many things to teach. Greta Miller is also, I guess we can call both you and John, a founding member of Capella Orpheus. So you've sung in all four concerts?
All three, and I will be in the fourth one.
That's
yes.
Right. This is the fourth one. What drew you to this particular group, and what kind of choral singing are you used to doing?
Well, I have sung with BACH for many years. I have also... had a great interest in early music for a long time. I've sung with the German choir in town while it was in existence.
Yeah, until sadly ended, just last year, didn't it?
Right. When the director decided to retire. Actually, a side issue here, but Nellie tried to resurrect or had an interest in resurrecting the German choir for a little while. But by that time, most of the members had dispersed into other groups. So it was a little bit of a problem, including we had dispersed some of us into Nellie's group. I started singing with Nellie's group because I did sing in her doctoral recital, and so she knew me. And I enjoy very much singing in a small ensemble. It's very different from singing in a large chorus. I like the intimacy. I like the ability to blend the voices and to actually hear all the parts very clearly.
And in this case, we're talking, I'm just counting here, it looks like 14 people on the program. So you have roughly three voices on a part and probably an extra alto, an extra bass, or might be an extra soprano, an extra bass. I don't know. What have you got?
I think it's 5-5-2-2, isn't it? So 5 sopranos, 5 altos, 2 tenors, 2 basses.
Really?
But Nelly's always looking for more bass. It's something to do with the choral tradition she comes from.
Oh, I actually didn't look through here and see how many men versus how many women there are.
But we also do a lot of pieces where the women are split.
Yes.
There is at least one piece where we split four ways. And when we split three ways, some of the altos and some of the second sopranos sing together. So we're pretty flexible about the parts that we sing.
We have some music from a previous concert. When the piece that we played earlier, do these all come from the same concert or from different concerts you've done? We're going to hear some music of Poulenc next.
Poulenc comes from the concert which we performed in November 2011, and Tebe Poem comes from the concert in May 2011.
Okay, so Poulenc is next. This is his setting of Omagnum Mysterium, typically done around Christmas time, referring to the great mystery of the virgin birth, I believe. Do I remember that right? Okay, John is nodding vigorously. I'm so glad to know that. This is Capella Orpheus, directed by Nelly Matova, and they're going to be giving a concert on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at St. John Episcopal Chapel on Wright Street in Champaign. You're listening to Live and Local. Capella Orpheus singing just a beautiful piece of Francis Poulenc. I'm very fond of his choral music myself, Omagnum Mysterium. And I commented, having just heard that they only and I'm looking at the program here, only have four or five men all together in that choir, that it certainly sounds like more males than that. And Greta was singing the praises of the men in the group as we were listening here, and John is blushing away, and the other men would be, I guess, if they might perhaps would have heard her say that. So I'll just say to the other men, if you happen to be listening, you should be blushing for all the wonderful things she was saying about the men. But it makes me wonder, Nelly Matova, who's the director of the group, did you just pick people who you knew to be pretty good, or somebody told you was pretty good, or have you had any kind of auditions to make sure that you'd have a blend?
All the people who sing in Capella Orpheus, I knew their abilities from before we started, and I actually I was looking for particular people who do not have too much voices which stand out, people who have voices which really easily blend, and voices which with very larger range, people who can sing variety of things.
And what makes a voice, let me see if I can put this question right, what kind of voice can sing a variety of things? In other words, what sorts of things would you not want in a voice that might make it not so flexible?
Definitely, I don't want, for this particular group, I don't want somebody who has really large vibrato, which he cannot control or she cannot control, to the needs of the group, because sometimes we need it, sometimes we don't need it completely. So it's a matter of control. And I am looking for voices which have the sweetness, the beauty, the roundness of the sound which I'm after. And that's why I called the Capella Orpheus Orpheus, because I aim to that kind of beautiful and very, very warm sound, which Orpheus was known to produce.
Well, for those who don't know who Orpheus was supposed to, I mean, Orpheus was a mythological, creature, but person.
Orpheus was a mythological person, and he was known to have such a charming and beautiful voice that he will charm everything, life and unlife, the trees, the rocks, the people, everybody.
And he was it Orpheus who typically had the lyre that you would see in paintings
Yes, in paintings.
Yeah, accompanying himself singing, I guess. We talked about some of the pieces there on the first half of your program Sunday night. It's in the second half where you have composers that the average listener may not have heard of. I've heard of two of these guys. I think they're all guys. I don't know who the last one, maybe not. George Ligeti is much studied by people who follow contemporary music in one way or another. And then Eino Juhani Rautavaara, which is a wonderful name to say. I think I said it more or less right. I don't remember where he is from.
He's from Northern Europe.
Is he Finnish?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I think he's Finnish or Estonian, one or the other.
Well, we're going to get in trouble if we don't want to inflame ethnic tensions here by confusing
a Finnish and Estonian community in Champaign-Urbana. Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's right. And you're doing a suite of his. Tell me about these pieces.
Yeah, he wrote this suite on texts by Lorca, and they are four pieces, and they're very contrasting in character, so that requires a lot of from the singers to be able to switch very, very fast from different tempos to different dynamics to different characters. Beautiful pieces.
And
very rhythmic.
Ligeti's piece called Solitude.
Ligeti's piece is one of his early choral pieces. It's for three-voice choir, so it has a male voice and two female voices arrangement.
Does that mean you'll just have three? No, you'll have more than three singers.
Oh, yeah. We do it with the whole Capella Orpheus. It's just arranged for three voices.
And then this person, Ola, how do you say the last name?
Ola Jello.
Jello.
He's a young Norwegian composer who is gaining big popularity nowadays in the United States. He moved here in about 5-6 years ago to study in Juilliard School composition. And since then, he's just composing music around. He had his CD, choral CD released, Norwegian Lights, performed by Phoenix Chorale with Charles Brophy. It was just recently released about a couple of months ago, I think. So he's very, very interesting composer. His music is accessible on one side, but on the other side, it presents some artistic challenges.
To the performers.
To the performers, yes.
For example, what sort?
Again, the beauty of the phrasing, the beauty of the sound, the balance.
Well,
of the
what I mean,
chords.
What difficulties does he present the performer?
That's the artistic difficulties, the way you create that specific beautiful sound.
I see, and he's all of 34 years old or so. Did you mentally consider a link between him and Durufle, who was first on your program because one of his more famous short choral pieces is Ubi Caritas, and you're doing a setting of Ubi Caritas to close this out.
Yes, I had this in mind.
All right, so you thought this through.
Yes, I did.
Very good. Well, choral people tend to be very good at doing things like that, I have learned, particularly if you come out of the University of Illinois program, which has a lot of musicological thinking that goes on. This is a free concert, right?
Yes, the concert is free.
Sunday night, Capella Orpheus, under the direction of Nelly Matova, which will include in the membership our other two guests in this portion of the show, John Wagstaff and Greta Miller. The concert is Sunday night at 7 at St. John Episcopal Chapel. It's the one right on the corner of Wright and Armory in Champaign, just north of the main university library, and a free concert. Quite a nicely varied program. And here is a piece from one of their previous concerts, Hospodi by Arvo Pärt. What does that mean?
Dear God.
Dear God, from his Psalm 131. Capella Orpheus here on Live and Local. Thank you all for joining us on the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
As music by Arbo Pärt, called Gospodi from Psalm 131, and a performance by Capella Orpheus from one of their previous concerts. They're giving a concert Sunday night at 7 o'clock in Champaign. Our broadcast today on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the FM 90.9 Evening Concert, you'll be hearing the Civic Orchestra of Chicago play music by Mahler and Sibelius, and then another episode in the Keeping Score series called 13 Days When Music Changed Forever. Tonight's rendition has to do with the first public performance of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony, his third symphony. It'll be Mahler and Sibelius from Chicago, and then the Keeping Score series all starts tonight at 7 on the Evening Concert here on FM 90.9. So staying in the realm of choral music on our program today, we move from a group that's not even been around 2 years yet to one that is going to celebrate its 20th anniversary with a concert Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Patrick Catholic Church on East El Dorado Street in Decatur. It's called Opus 24, the program called One Voice, One Song, and a presentation of the Decatur Choral Society there. Virtually founding director is Milton Scott, and he's back with us here. I think, Milt, you've been on the show just about every concert probably since I discovered you for myself once we started Live and Local 3 years ago.
I think that's true, at least twice a season.
And it's a pleasure because it's...
Thank you.
It's great to have you on, and it's great to hear the group each time because you all have such wonderful performances. You bring in very recent ones that you have done, typically whatever you did in your previous season concert, and then we have one coming up that we're going to be playing just from last month you did with the Millikan Decatur Symphony.
Right. We did the Frostiana on the 21st, I believe it was, and I brought that CD today. Because it was a great concert, and I think it's going to be on WLL later this spring on, I think, June 1st.
On Prairie Performances with Roger Cooper.
Yes.
This is a piece that's getting some mileage, at least in our listening area. The chorale led by Julie Beiler just did it on Sunday night, and you and I were talking while we were listening to the Arvo Pärt piece, that this is... This is the way I have learned to remember Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken, is because I sang this back. I seem to think it was in grade school because I can seem to remember standing on the Guilford Hills Elementary School stage when back in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, singing this piece. That could be a slightly revisionist memory, but obviously I remembered the tune because I sang it to you before it.
Yes, and it's been around a long time.
Yeah.
That and Choose Something Like a Star, I think, are the two pieces that most people remember from the piece.
And this is music by Randall Thompson.
Right.
Where he takes settings, he calls them seven country songs. Did he call them that?
Randall Thompson called them that. I don't know if he did that melodically. I should have done a tad more research on that, but... it's all music, poems by Robert Frost. And matter of fact, we have someone in our choir, a teacher, who likes to memorize a poem a month. And this is one of the first ones he ever memorized.
The Road Not Taken.
Yes, but now he says it's hard for him to recite it because he thinks of the rhythm of the piece.
Well, yeah, and the tone seems to, the tune seems to work so well. Well, as long as we're talking about it, we might as well play it. It's the first of these seven country songs. Setting poetry by Robert Frost, music by Randall Thompson from the collection he calls, therefore, Frostiana. And it's the Opus 24 performing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. Michael Luxner was conducting on this occasion at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur just a couple of weeks ago, April 21st. And Milton Scott is the director of Opus 24, who are giving a concert Sunday afternoon. music by Randall Thompson, setting poetry by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken, the first of seven songs in the collection called Frostiana, which was performed by Opus 24 Choral Ensemble and the Millick and Decatur Symphony Orchestra. Michael Luxner conducts the orchestra. Milt Scott directs Opus 24, and that was from just a couple of weeks ago on April 21st at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. Opus 24 giving its 20th anniversary, well, they're calling it a 20th anniversary reunion concert this Sunday afternoon in Decatur. Milt Scott's with us here on Live and Local. Does that name imply that you're having people come back to sing with the choir who haven't for a while, maybe?
Yes, actually, we have people coming back who left only a semester ago, and we also have people coming back that left over a decade ago. We have had over 100 different singers in the group, so we've tried to contact them via letter, email, and who knows what other ways to find people where they've gone. So we have, right now, we have 21 people coming back and sing the last three pieces of our concert.
And remind me, how many is the ensemble typically?
Well, typically it's about 40. This concert we're singing in the group that exists right now, this semester, it's 35.
So it'll be 35 plus 21.
Yes.
That should be a nice hefty number.
Right, and we're rehearsing Saturday, a little special get-together and having the alums come and then have a little supper get-together and do a little reunion remembering, and then they will come sing, as I said, join on the last three pieces.
Did you select the program? I haven't looked at the program. You just handed it to me.
Oh, go ahead and look.
I'll look. I promised Milt not to look critically because I occasionally find typos because I'm good at that sort of thing.
Yes.
And since it's already printed, he doesn't want to know about it. So I will promise if I see anything, I'm
That's
just
right.
going to pretend I didn't see anything at all. But I wondered if the program was selected at all with the reunion in mind. Are you bringing back songs you've done before?
Well, we are. I've kind of chosen some things that have been the choir's favorites in the last several years and a couple of things that are new to the choir, things that I have just recently heard and found. So the ones that they are singing on, which are they are going to join us on Choose Something Like a Star. And then we're going to do Hymn for America of Stephen Paulus and Hold On, which we learned when Jackson Berkey was here the first time. And a lot of those people have sung at least one of those somewhere along the line. And there are a couple of new tunes like the Requiem by Eliza Gilkison. And some of the others are repeats. There's a new one by David Brunner, Grand is the Scene.
Yeah, this is a really, I mean, this is a nice program, and I mean that in two different ways. For one mm-hmm. thing, the program is, the physical program is beautiful.
I am so fortunate in Decatur to have a person who is a graphic artist and does this as her business, who does my program covers. And I say, I need something funfetti or something, very celebratory. And she'll send me half a dozen of things like this. And then she did this one for us, Light, for the one last concert, From Darkness into Light, and captured it absolutely perfectly about 9/11 and the light over Bethlehem. And you have a copy before you, but it's one of my favorite program covers, Destruction on one side and Hope on the last, and all the way through. So it's just a wonderful layout, physical layout.
Well, yeah, I'm just even looking at the middle of it, but I'm also, but the nice, also, man, it's a great program of music. It's such a wonderful variety. And you mentioned Stephen Paulus. He is making the rounds of locally. I mean, in the last week, you're, I think, the third group that has been doing some music by Stephen Paulus in the last week. Chanticleer just sang some on a concert. Did you happen to hear that concert?
I did not.
Oh, it was fabulous. And then I know that the chorale did some music of Stephen Paulus. You guys are doing music of Stephen Paulus. What's your take on Stephen Paulus? What appeals to you about him? Because the music I've heard is extremely appealing and also very profound, it seems.
Well, I think that's one of the things that I liked. He did a piece, I think, called The Pilgrim's Hymn. And his choral writing, the pieces that we've done are very, very chordal. The harmonies are just really wonderful. But I love the texts which he's chosen. And they're very approachable for a choir like mine. And, you know, it's typical of what I look for somebody like Opus 24, because they're just so well written, and the audiences love it too. They're just really beautifully written.
All right, when you say somebody like Opus 24, what do you mean by
well,
that?
Well, a community chorus meets once a week of maybe that has three-quarters of the people are non-degreed musicians, but they have singing experiences. You know, they're above the y'all come chorus, you know. That. So I guess what I'm saying is it appeals to both experienced, let's say, collegiate directors. Will do Stephen Paulus. They meet, you know, they see something in it that's really worth doing, and so do we. And we like to sing them.
Well, in your case, it's a community chorus, but correct me if I'm wrong. It is an auditioned chorus.
It is. Yes, everyone that's in there is auditioned.
So these are people who have some level that meets some set of criteria that you have established for what you want the group to sound like.
Right, right. That's exactly right. There are certain things that I want the choir to sound like and to be able to accomplish, and that's why I audition them.
We have some samples from a concert you gave last winter.
Right, November.
I guess technically that's in the fall.
Yes.
What are we going to hear first?
I think we're going to hear the L.L. Fleming arrangement of Lord of the Dance. And it's kind of fun because it has a little echo part that if you don't warn the audience, they applaud too early. You'll see what happens at the end.
And it's a tune I think many people will recognize. I certainly did. We're talking with Milt Scott, who's director of Opus 24. They're giving their 20th anniversary concerts on the afternoon in Decatur. Yeah, I see what you mean about that little echoey kind of thing right at the end. Although nobody jumped in on it too early. Opus 24 performing. What did you say the name of the arranger of that?
That's L.L. Fleming, Larry Fleming.
And Milt Scott is director of Opus 24, that concert just given last November in Decatur. Was it the same church where they'll be you'll be performing?
Right, at St. Patrick.
This Sunday, St. Patrick Catholic Church, always a wonderful acoustic there. It's as represented on your recordings. It's the only place I've heard it is through the Opus 24 recordings that Milt brings here to Live and Local, and it's certainly a pleasure to hear. Our program today is made possible with support from Champaign-Urbana Ballet, presenting Coppelia this Friday at 7:30 p.m. with a special children's matinee, with special children's matinees, plural, on Saturday at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. Magic, comedy, and romance combine in a ballet suited for the whole family. On your November concert, I believe you performed a Requiem.
We did.
And at this concert, you're performing a Requiem. Is this a morbid streak of yours?
No, actually, just to keep it brief, I heard this piece, this piece that's called Requiem. I heard it at the American Choral Directors Convention in Fort Wayne on a CD. And it's arranged by Craig Hella Johnson. And it is dedicated, it's a text which is dedicated to victims of natural disasters. It came as a result of Katrina and the tsunami. And it's basically a prayer to Mother Mary. And it's just a very lush, beautiful piece of music, simple in its ability to be learned. I mean, note-wise and everything. But it really, I think, is a beautiful piece.
So in November, you sang a Requiem. This is simply a piece
called Requiem. We did the Rudder Requiem in November because that concert was called From Darkness into Light. So the concert musically got lighter as we went away. And the excerpt, the piece that you'll play shows that because it's on the lighter side. The light come down. But this Requiem is... it's just a beautiful short piece that is quite expressive.
Did you imagine a progress in the concert you'll be doing on Sunday? I see you have it in three sets, as you call them.
Well, I have it in three sets. There's an intermission between set two and set three because we have a vocalist. We give scholarships for voice lessons at Millikan, and so one of the winners of that is performing on this concert after the intermission, and then we have a few things to do about our reunion, some presentations and alums come up and that kind of thing. So we've developed set three to take care of those kinds of things.
How did you choose your scholarship winners?
They perform for us. They prepare a piece. There's an audition process where they write a little autobiographical sketch. They have to have a recommendation from their voice teacher. It's open to anyone who lives in Macon County. So we used to give scholarships to summer camps, but we discovered that last year that it would maybe more valuable individually and musically to get voice lessons. So our award is a semester of voice lessons in the Millikan Voice Department, and that is the scholarship. And that's almost $500 a student.
And your winner?
And our winner this year is Katie Malone, who is a mid-year graduate of MacArthur High School. And she's going to go to Maryville College and be music therapy as her major.
Something I remember thinking about once myself. It seems to be something that can be really effective in the right situation.
She's a delightful person and a very good singer, and I think she'd be a wonderful music therapist.
So does she solo? Did she just do something solo with piano on the concert then?
Right. She's going to sing a piece called The Glamorous Life, and that's from, I believe, A Little Night Music.
Oh, Stephen Sondheim.
Yes, Stephen Sondheim. And she has a wonderful voice teacher, and, you know, we're just, when we hear this, we know that our money, our scholarship has really made a difference for people. And that's one of the missions of our umbrella, the Decatur Choral Society, is to help develop other singers and promote them, even though they may never sing with us, somewhere to to do more music in their life.
So the Decatur Choral Society is not itself a choral organization.
No, it's an umbrella group. And hopefully, well, actually, in its infancy, we had a youth choir as well, but that kind of went away. But that's something we would like to develop maybe eventually as well.
If you have, so if anybody in the sound of our voices happens to have interest in working on that, I bet you'd love to hear from them.
I would. And we're always looking for new voices in our group, you know, in the big boy, big girl group too, as we call it sometimes. So,
and if they wanted to, if somebody wanted to get involved in Opus 24, well, I suppose the best thing to do would be show up at the concert and then come talk to you.
Right, because a lot of people that have come say, well, I've never heard your group, but I know it's good. And I say, well, you ought to come and hear it and see if that's really what you want to be involved in. And a lot of times that's very influential, and they'll say yay or nay. So, you know, they can come to the concert's a great way. They can contact me in Decatur as well. And I'm always willing to meet and say, I'll listen to your voice. We may not have room right now for another soprano or another baritone, but I'd like to listen to you, and it might work. We're very flexible.
Good to know. Well, if anybody wants to know how to contact Milt, you can certainly contact me, and then I could get you in touch with him.
Sure.
Our web address, best way to get hold of me if you want to, for either for that purpose or to let me know about your group or about an event you think we'd be interested in covering here on Live and Local, is simply willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu, which is a good way for me to introduce the calendar that I'm going to read to you for some things happening tonight and tomorrow before we hear a little bit more from Opus 24. The University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra, a really fine ensemble, I have every confidence in endorsing them, will be performing tonight at the Krannert Center in Urbana. A concert starts at 7:30. I know it includes Bruckner's Fourth Symphony on that concert. And the University of Illinois Jazz Ensemble 4, also at the Krannert Center at the same time at 7:30 in one of the other theaters. It's the weekly traditional Irish music session in downtown Champaign at Bentley's Pub. That's at 7 o'clock this evening. The Central Illinois Jazz Orchestra is performing at the Fieldhouse Bar and Grill in Peoria tonight at 7. Also in Peoria, Illinois Central College Concert Band will be performing at the ICC Performing Arts Center at 7:30. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield is presenting See How They Run Thursday through Saturday. Dinner starting around 6:30, and then Sunday there's a brunch presentation as well. The New Orleans Jazz Machine will be giving a free short program at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute on the music series there on the main Carl Clinic campus on University Avenue in Urbana. That's at noon tomorrow. The Young and the Fretless play old-time mountain music at the Krannert Center's Uncorked program tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. In Urbana, the Friends of Theater at the Krannert Center presenting their end-of-year potpourri. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. University of Illinois Jazz Combo, the Wilson Combo, as it's called, presumably led by or coached by Glenn Wilson, will be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And Oakwood High School Drama Department is presenting Hamlet Thrillmageddon. And I believe we are having some of their students to give us an idea of what on earth is that about. Performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, Friday at 7, and then Friday, Saturday at 5 o'clock. And finally, the Illinois State University Spring Dance Theater will be at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts and Normal tomorrow night at 7:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYLFM and HD Urbana with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features 10 wines, followed from 7 to 9 p.m. by the smooth jazz guitar music of Lamont Parsons. Reminder that Opus 24 20th Anniversary Reunion Concert will be Sunday afternoon at 3 at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur, led by Milton Scott. And Milt, what's the piece we're going to go out with from the last concert?
It's called The Light Come Down, words and music by Kirby Shaw. It's kind of a little up-tempo piece to just end a concert of darkness into light.
and a fine end to our choral program today. Thanks, Milt, as always, for coming to join us on the show.
Thank you.